Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. You'll find us online at thisweekinamerica.us. Winter is a busy, festive time of year when people spend more time together indoors. It's also a time when more people tend to get sick. So what exactly is it about this time of year that encourages aches and sniffles? Catching a chill has long been suspected as a cause of winter ailments and for just as long has been dismissed as folklore. Or has it? Could the secret to winter wellness be as close as your spice rack, the foods you eat, and your daily healthy living practices? Well, the answers may surprise you. According to our guest on today's This Week in America, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, the author of more than 30 books, including Kitchen Gardening, Be the Change, Invest in Yourself with Exercise, and two more recent ones, which we will cover in much more detail, all the topics we'll discuss on today's show, entitled The Curative Kitchen and Lifestyle and Choose to Thrive. Now, if you refer to her two websites, you'll find out how to get personally autographed copies of her books and more about Susan and her healthy, faith-filled lifestyle. On today's program, she will offer some very practical, time-honored tips to upgrade the quality of your life during the wintertime so you can be vigorous and vibrantly healthy and hopefully also free of any colds, the flu, and more. Maybe your grandmother was indeed right about how you can maintain robust health in the winter and all year long. Welcome back, Dr. Susan. Great to have you with us and great topic.
Thank you, Rick. And we want to keep everybody healthy this season and all year long.
We need to do that. And I'm taking notes. I hope people at home are taking notes as well, not only for this year, but going into next year when we go to the winter season. Before we get started, let's talk a little bit your thoughts on some of the things that I just said. Can you get sick from cold weather like I learned when I was a kid?
And like I learned too.
Yes.
All right, so let me explain this. It is true that exposure to cold temperatures can constrict the blood vessels, and that will reduce the blood flow. And conceivably, this could weaken the immune system, since it means fewer protective white blood cells will make the rounds. But really, cold weather alone will not make you sick. It's the harmful bacteria and viruses that are to blame, although some are easier to catch and spread during the cold, dry weather. But I'll bottom line it by saying it's really our human behavior that's more responsible for the transmission of illness than cold weather, because our behavior facilitates the transmission of the common cold and flu. During the winter, think about it, we often travel together, we stay indoors in close contact with our friends and families, and then as a result, common winter concerns like cold, sore throat, even asthma, stiff joints, cold sores, dry skin, and the flu are simply easier to catch.
We will go through those individually on our program today, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. The two websites I mentioned, SusanSmithJones.com and BooksToUplift.com. If you go to ThisWeekInAmerica.us, you can link on directly to those. Let's talk about some common winter health concerns. You mentioned a number of them. Let's go back and talk about them separately. How about the cold? Talk about that and how we can sort of prevent that, because we all assume we're going to have at least one during the winter season.
I know. Well, do you know that the common cold affects millions of people? That's not strange to hear. But the average adult will catch it at least 2 to 3 times a year. And colds are caused by viral infections. And the most common are those rhinoviruses. And the result, when you get the common cold, it's an upper respiratory infection with symptoms like a runny nose, sore throat, cough, headache, and then mild body aches.
And it's 2 to 3 times a year. I mean, I'm saying one. I guess if you get lucky, if you only have it once. Another symptom that arises, and as soon as you get a sore throat, you're thinking, okay, this is the precursor to something. Talk about a sore throat.
I know. You know what's weird, too? I just got back from a media tour over in the UK, and 90% of the time when I end the flight, I get a little bit of a sore throat, and I know it's probably not the greatest air on the flight.
Yes.
Although I know what to do, so it doesn't go any further than that. But a sore throat is par for the course during the winter, and it's usually an early sign of an upper respiratory infection. I know our time is so limited, but a lot of people can't tell the difference between colds and allergies, And I've got a wonderful book called, you can find it on my website, called Conquer Colds and Allergies, and you can learn more about the difference between those.
It's interesting because every time you start, and again, you're not sure. Is this a cold? Is it an allergy? And you treat each of them differently. We'll get into that during the course of the program today. How about asthma sufferers this time of year?
All right. So asthma isn't really a seasonal ailment, but asthma can be exacerbated by the cold, especially when there's a sudden drop in temperature, like when you step outside during the dead of winter, the cold winter season. And also an asthma attack, which can cause coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, can be brought on by other conditions like a cold or the flu.
How about norovirus? That's interesting because this time of year, a lot of people think, I'm going to escape all of this. I'm going to go where it's healthy, where there's sunshine and warmth. I'm going to take a cruise. And then you find out you spend all of the cruise like bent over because you got the norovirus. Talk about the impact of that during the winter.
Man, oh man, is that contagious. Norovirus is a contagious gastrointestinal illness that can cause nausea, vomiting, and watery stool. We hope nobody's eating a meal right now.
Yeah, I'm sick now.
Yeah.
I felt fine 30 seconds ago. Okay.
And it's especially troublesome when you have densely populated buildings like schools, hospitals, nursing homes, and, of course, what you said, cruise ships.
Yes.
Touching contaminated surfaces like counters and doorknobs, eating food that's been handled by an infected person, or even inhaling viral particles can spread the virus. You should see me when I fly. I take my little wipes, and I wipe everything off in front of me on the flight, and then I go to the hotel room, and I wipe everything that other people have touched.
Yes.
I just want to stay as healthy as possible, and it's good to be that way.
And we'll go through some of the steps you can take to try to stay healthy during the season in a few minutes on the program. Our guest, the topic today, winter wellness, simple ways to stay healthy during the cold season, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones with us on the program. Our website, SusanSmithJones.com and BooksToUplift.com. Let's talk about painful joints. You seem to have those, they're even more bothersome in the winter with the cold, aren't they?
We hear about this a lot. I used to go to one of my grandmothers when I was very young because she would always let me know when the barometric temperature would be changing because of her joints. See, there is a relationship between stiff, sore joints and
yes.
cold weather, although it's a strange one. It seems counterintuitive that cold weather could exacerbate inflammation, but a sudden drop in temperature is usually preceded by a drop in the barometric pressure. And people with inflamed joints are more attuned to changes in atmospheric pressure, and they may feel more pain in injured areas. So stiff joints might also hurt a little bit more in the winter because people are more sedentary when it's cold outside. So that's an interesting connection.
Yeah, it's so difficult to get outside and to do things in many parts of the country during this time of year. How about cold sores, something that we see a lot more advertising for, cold sores, obviously, during the winter months? Talk about those.
Yeah, and I've been seeing more commercials on TV, too. Cold sores are a result of the highly contagious HSV-1 virus, herpes simplex virus. The virus remains dormant in the body's nerve cells until activated, and there are many factors like stress or a compromised immune system that can trigger an outbreak. So to prevent transmission to other people or parts of the body, you want to avoid touching the cold sore, don't share food or utensils, and wash your hands frequently.
More information on the topic on today's program at Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com, and BooksToUplift.com. Dry skin is a real problem, and again, you can tell what time of year it is by watching television commercials. Everybody's out there now, and they have something specific for every type of dry skin imaginable. Talk about dry skin this time of year and how we can prevent that.
I know. And you know what? Even though it's not so cold where I live in West LA in the Brentwood area, the humidity goes to the single digits. And then all of a sudden, my lips and fingers feel like an alligator. But for many people, it gets very cold in the winter, and the humidity drops, and there's less moisture in the air, and that does lead to dry skin. So make sure you don't use harsh drying soaps, and don't bathe in water that's too hot, because both can dry your skin. You always want to apply a good moisturizer after showering. And also, you might want to invest in a humidifier for your bedroom just to help bring the humidity up a little bit.
And the big one you mentioned that scares everybody, in fact, many of us get a flu shot going into the flu season. We're told all the time to be very careful because the flu can be deadly, of course. Talk about the flu and how we can, again, try to avoid it, understanding we're all indoors in confined areas during the winter. Some tips on how we can go about maybe not falling prey to the flu.
Yeah, I know. So flu symptoms and cold symptoms are similar, but flu symptoms are more severe and include fever, chills, and more heavily body aches. And if it escalates, the flu can lead to more serious problems like pneumonia. It could even become life-threatening, as we hear at times on the news. So it's important to be vigilant, since you can catch a flu from up to 6 feet away by a droplet transmission, and infected people are usually contagious for a day before symptoms appear and up to 7 days afterwards. So if you have the flu, by all means, stay home. Stay hydrated, get lots of rest, let yourself recuperate. Don't spread it around the workplace. You're not at your best when you're sick, and you can greatly hinder the productivity even further by getting your other coworkers sick.
Is there such a thing as winter allergies?
You know, it's interesting. Absolutely. You know, for many people, wintertime means what? Spending more time indoors.
Yes.
And that's with mold spores, we hope people aren't eating now, pet dander, chemical cleaners, and dust mites. And when you consider that most people's homes are sealed up tight and ventilation is lacking, it's no surprise that allergies can flare up in the winter months.
You know, time is going by so quickly. I got one more question, then we'll take a break here. But I'm reading on the website the role vitamin D plays in seasonal affective disorder. And talk about how that works. And seasonal affective disorder is something that's a fairly new term, been around in the profession for years, but now people are hearing that and understanding, okay, this time of year, less sunshine, there is an impact on that. What's the role of vitamin D?
Yes. So, you know, seasonal affective disorder is abbreviated as SAD, SAD, and that's defined as depression associated with late autumn or winter and thought to be caused by lack of light. And so after reviewing over 100 articles on vitamin D and seasonal affective disorder, an international team of researchers revealed that lack of vitamin D may play a fundamental and foundational role in the development of SAD. It's because there's less light. They looked at studies that showed that lower vitamin D levels have been found in depressed individuals compared to controls. You know, vitamin D affects levels of serotonin and dopamine in the nervous system. And in one study, the mood improved in people without SAD when they took 400 to 800 IUs per day of vitamin D, and it improved for 5 days. So, but I always say, you know, you want a baseline test of where your D level is. Even though I live in sunny Southern California, I literally need to take 10,000 IUs of D a day in my diet, and that keeps me at the right level when I have a blood test. So you can check this out with your doctor.
Okay, well, good information there. And again, it's all on the website. We're talking about winter wellness, simple ways to stay healthy during the cold season with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. And we're back on today's program after these messages. Welcome back this week in America. Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program, talking about winter wellness. We're going to go through now 10 tips, 10 of the best tips to staying healthy during the wintertime. And let's go through these. Some of these are common sense, which is why we forget them so often during the winter and for the rest of the year. Following a healthy diet, really important this time of year, isn't it?
It is so important because eating poorly can significantly affect your health by changing the composition of your gut microbiome, and that will leave you open to attack from harmful bacteria. It all sounds strange, but it does happen. And conversely, if you consume more lactic acid bacteria that's naturally found in raw food like fruits and vegetables, that supports your gut health. And also, you can combat the bad effects of winter on your system and poor probiotics, a weakening of the probiotics, if you eat lots of leafy greens and beans and citrus and also spices. And we recently did an entire show on going to your spice rack to keep
yes.
you healthy, but I'm going to quickly go through six spices that are great year-round, but especially this season. Cayenne is a fiery spice that cuts through congestion and helps to clear up mucus. Garlic is a pungent bulb that provides protective immune benefits. I take these all every day, by the way. Ginger, this time of year, is a spicy root that warms the winter chills and supports respiratory health. You know, I make ginger tea fresh from ginger and turmeric root every morning, unless I'm traveling. Sage, which is what you are, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Quickly drives up post-nasal drip and soothes a sore throat. You have a sore throat? Make some sage tea. Thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, is a great partner for respiratory discomforts. And, of course, turmeric really boosts the immune system. It's great for joint comfort, supports healthy liver function. You can get that in powder, capsules, liquid extract. Or do what I do by buying the root and cutting little quarter-inch slices and simmering it for 10 minutes and make your own fresh turmeric ginger tea.
All of this information in more detail at Susan's websites, SusanSmithJones.com and BooksToUplift.com. Exercise and stay active is number two. Even though this time of year, it's pretty easy to talk ourselves out of going outdoors or even getting in the car to go to a gym, but exercise is really important.
Isn't that true? See, when it's cold outside and the days are shorter, they seem to be a whole lot shorter, working out might be the last thing you feel like doing, but exercise supports the immune system and will actually help prevent you from getting sick. Aerobic exercise helps circulate white blood cells throughout your body so they can find and fight harmful microbes. So an exercise also lowers stress hormones and combats seasonal affective disorders. So you've got to make it a priority all year long.
Heat therapy is number three on your list. Talk about the role that plays in getting us through winter.
Yes, yes. And get out, if you don't have it out yet, get a pen and paper. I'll give you a telephone number. But if you're feeling like you're on the verge of getting sick, then head to the nearest infrared sauna. It's funny, here in West LA where I live, we have organic juice bars and we have oxygen bars. And now every few blocks there's a sauna bar where you can go pay money to sit in a sauna that other people have been sitting in. Personally, I'd like to have my own personal one.
Yes.
Like I have in my home. The infrared's radiant heat stimulates circulation, revs up the production of white blood cells, rallies your immune system's response to invaders. See, all of this, when you heat up your body in an infrared sauna, makes your body a much less hospitable environment for germs to grow and a great place for them to die. And by the way, an infrared sauna boosts the immune system, makes your skin look beautiful, helps you to relax, makes you feel great. And I have two infrared saunas, one in my home, one in my office. I got them at that famous company in Boulder, Colorado called High Tech Health. And they make the best in the country for and by the way, my blog today is all about heat therapy and infrared saunas. And I also have four articles at SusanSmithJones.com about infrared saunas. But they're toll-free number, if you want info, it's 800-794-5355, and I always go to their detoxification and product specialist, Emery. She's at extension 813. When I have any questions, that's my go-to person. She's brilliant about infrared saunas. So 800-794-5355.
And again, all of that at Susan's website, susansmithjones.com. Manage your stress, important. Why is that so much so during the winter months?
Well, stress is inevitable, and occasional stress can actually be great for you, but prolonged stress weakens the immune system. And one of the many effects of stress is a shrunken, atrophied thymus. The thymus is that small gland in the lymphatic system that makes T cells, which are highly specialized immune cells that target specific types and strains of microbes and viruses. So you want to control your stress levels in the winter to mitigate the stressors to support your immune system. And remember, it's okay to say no to all these engagements and commitments, because rest and recuperation is the best thing for a strong immune defense system.
You mentioned rest. How important is sleep in the winter?
Oh, goodness. It's right there, right at the top of the list, because sleep deprivation, especially if it's chronic, causes the body to enter a pro-inflammatory state in as few as 8 days. And because the immune cells are most active during the sleep cycle, a good night's rest is essential. If you're coming down with something, get some rest. It strengthens the immune response.
Time going by quickly. A few minutes left in the program. This one is one that should be obvious. It's really easy to do, doesn't cost you any money, and that's washing your hands. Very simple, isn't it?
Yeah, shared surfaces like handrails, doorknobs, elevator buttons are a conduit for pathogens. And then we infect ourselves when we touch our faces. Most people touch their face an average of 4 times an hour, and they touch shared surfaces about 3 times an hour. So wash your hands after touching shared surfaces.
Protect your skin and nails. How important is that?
Well, skin is very sensitive to extreme temperatures, and if you bathe and shower in hot water because you're cold in the winter, that can promote dry skin, it can make it worse, and it can even make your skin begin to crack. So always use good moisturizers, not only on your body, but also your fingernails, throughout the day, and especially before you go to sleep at night.
Gargling. How important is a good gargle?
Gargling. That's good. Gargling is a great way to prevent yourself from getting sick. Now, though it's great for soothing a sore throat, it turns out that gargling salt water is an effective way to discourage upper respiratory infections. My grandmother taught me this when I was a teenager, and I followed the guidance ever since. And I usually gargle if I feel like I'm getting a sore throat with Celtic sea salt. But even, and I know you probably like the more stiff drinks for your gargling, right?
Well, yeah, it depends on the alcoholic content.
Yeah. But you can even gargle with green tea. In one study I read not long ago, gargling with green tea is more effective than plain water at preventing fevers in children.
Interesting. And again, all of this at Dr. Susan's website. And you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Staying warm. How important is that? You always see a knucklehead out when the temperature is like 25 degrees that thinks it's shorts weather. He's pretty cool because he's going to wear his shorts today. The actual act of staying warm, what role does that play?
Yeah, and I've also seen ladies, women, who don't want to put on a jacket in the winter because they're going out to a bar somewhere, and they want to look beautiful. You're nuts. First of all, exposure to cold causes vasoconstriction, which is the constriction of blood vessels in your body, and that leads to increased blood pressure. You've got to dress appropriately for the weather and keep the immune defenses in your air passages strong and well supplied with those white blood cells.
Let's wrap up with nutritional supplements. Are there supplements that we should be taking during these months?
Well, good nutrition is always the foundation of good health. And if you're not getting a complete spectrum of nutrients that your body requires, nutritional supplements can always help fill in those gaps and support a strong immune system. During the winter months, I personally take extra doses, we've talked about this before, of vitamin D, my molecular hydrogen tablets and the inhalation, alkaline water from my Ionizer Plus, and a few other products that you can read about in my current free newsletter. You just, if you haven't signed up, it takes 10 seconds, click on it, or go to my website, SusanSmithJones.com, and click on Favorite Products, and there you'll see an article, Susan's Favorite Nutritional Supplements, and I have them all written out there.
And you really need to sign up for the newsletter. There's so much information there, so much information when you go to the website, and I'll give you the two websites to go to, SusanSmithJones.com. You can go to books2uplift.com as well and get more on the topic of today's program, winter wellness, simple ways to stay healthy during the cold season. I think you've prepared us to get through these last couple months of the cold season this year. I'm taking notes, so I'll refer to these like October, November of next year as we head into a new season. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I look forward to next time.
We will be back with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Again, her website, SusanSmithJones.com. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.